Our next case, as counsel are approaching the bench, is A22-1161 in the matter of Del Zotto Products. While you're getting settled, obviously, both counsel are well aware that appellant relator will have 15 minutes for their argument in chief, respondent will have 15 minutes for their argument, and then finally, appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Whenever you're ready and you're settled, just approach the microphone. Please adjust it to your level and tell us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
May it please the court, Jack Perry from the Taft Law Firm. With me is Brianna Bergstrom, and I'm here on behalf of Del Zotto Products. And for a little context here is the order that is before you looks innocuous, but it's a multi-million dollar order.
And I got that.
It's 131 tanks. Massive tanks.
And who knows where it will end, requiring you to dig up every other sewer tank in America.
Well, and we are probably the largest manufacturer of this. We sold, I think, 1,300 is in the record of these plugs to what is now Semstone. And there's a rulemaking, there's legislation going on. And I have spent my entire career fighting with agencies and all that stuff. What we're asking for, just to go to the finish line, is I think this thing has to be remanded so we actually have a record and findings, and my client's going to hate me for saying, not asking for reversal, but I think this screams a remand. And Judge Jessen, I'm relying a lot upon your Polymet case because it just lays out exactly how you go through findings, I believe. You may disagree, hopefully not.
Which Polymet case?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need to
2021,
that,
okay. Anyway, I think there are three errors, and I'm going to start with the easiest one, and the last one gets more complicated, and I will apologize. One of the hardest things on administrative appeals is it's basically like being in front of a trial judge. We have two trial judges here. It's the first time you get to see the record. In fact, we saw evidence after we appealed, and so you're scrambling, and I don't think this is our best work, even though Brianna is the best associate we have at Taft, but it is not as clear as I wish it had been. That's my fault. I apologize. But the first error is the easiest, and that is, and it's under, the standard of review changes for each of these three errors that we have. And again, wasn't super articulate in our briefing, but the first one is the easiest, and that is...
Easiest. I'm sorry.
And that is, the first error we say is that the best case scenario on the interpretation of this opening language for the PCA is that it's ambiguous, and therefore you are to defer to its interpretation. That's what the law is. But the North Met case from 2021 from the Supreme Court, which was not cited, but it's North Met, its application and blah, 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 from it held that that's only true if that interpretation is reasonable. And in this case, you don't have to go through and look at the dictionary definitions or the ordinance inconsistency. You just have to look at the inconsistency between what they argued in their brief, which is there's a blanket prohibition on any openings, and what they also argued in the brief, where they admitted in their opposition brief that there are exceptions. There are exceptions under 7080.1990 subpart 1C and then 1900. Two exceptions. You can't have exceptions and a blanket rule. They don't work. And worst of all is they don't try to reconcile it. So we have an inconsistency, makes it unreasonable, and they don't try to reconcile it. And the biggest problem we had in our opening brief, they took care of too. And that was the SONAR, the Statement of Needs and Reasonable, which it has to, what you know from your agency days, you have to have that if you're doing rulemaking. And we thought that the exceptions were added before the SONAR came out. And the SONAR says, makes it pretty clear that we're trying to prohibit these openings, like the state is saying. The problem is they clarified for our mistake, and it's super hard to find, figure out what went first, but that the exceptions came because of the comments we pointed out in our opening brief about the industry's confusion and frustration with the blanket rule. And so what did they do? They provided the exceptions. And so the intent language, which we were concerned about, I was concerned about in our opening brief, went away with their opposition brief. So that's the first error. And the first error permeates everything, because the MPCA was under the I think, false understanding that there is this blanket prohibition. So it doesn't really matter. We don't really have to pay attention to the exceptions because...
Well, let me ask you about the exceptions. I'm glad you got to that. So whose burden is it? Would you agree it's your burden to show that, your client's burden to show that they meet one of these exceptions? Because you're right, we've got two different exceptions, right? The one under the general rule and one under the, 1990.
Yes, and I would say, Judge Justin, I don't care if we have the burden. We win under, when it's our burden.
Well, then tell us, where do we find in this record approval by a local unit of government, which is required under either circumstance? Because I'm just looking at this. I don't see anything the local government stamp of approval here.
Yeah, and let me address, there's two. Under the first exception, under 1990, subpart 1C, and then the second exception, they took slightly different, but both of them have that same approved by the local governmental unit. And here's why. Is that in our opening brief, we cited the court to 115.55 subdivision 5, paren A, close paren, and paren B, close paren. And the A requires inspection. Local governmental units have to inspect every single tank. And B is it requires the local governmental unit, the LGU, to certify compliance. There are no exceptions to that. And in the opposition brief, this is where the state helped us, Your Honor, is that they didn't deny that's what it says. There is no dispute in the record that A and B require inspection and certification. And so we don't have to. It's not like the MPCA, if you want to apply to have a registered tank, you have to go through the 7083 procedure.
So why would the rules require approval if that's already encompassed under the statutory inspection language that you refer to? I mean,
No. It's completely consistent, because here's what it is there's 87 counties. We may only sell one tank. Now, if we're applying to register for the MPCA, it applies to the state. But if I'm like they are building the tanks, and they don't know where they're going to end up going. Each county has to, by statute, has to create their own tank rules, and they have for the inspection and certification. And so they have to approve that. They don't have to do a registration application process. Now, if we were doing all of our work in Cook County or Carlson, yeah, we would apply and we could do that. But that's not how this works. And under the statutory scheme, we don't have to apply, because they already have a duty, statutory duty, because it's shall in the language of the statute. They have to do it already for us. And now, maybe, Your Honor, maybe you're correct that maybe a certain county, they have a different procedure. The problem is, in this case, we don't have any record. We just have the finding, which is finding 12 and 23, that says we didn't do that. And yet they say we didn't do it, but the statute required them to do it. And then worse than that, Your Honor, is they come up with, they know that I'm right on this one, so they came up with two other reasons. They said, well, there's an exception to the exception. And the exception is well, it's really hard to look at these tanks, and the LGU, they're only looking to see if the registration number's there. Well, the problem is there's no record support, any of those, they're not in the findings, there's no record support for it, and in fact, this situation that caused all this on July 27, 2021 proves the opposite, because Cook County, despite what they said, oh, this is so difficult, the inspector inspected and said, hey, we have this plug, what do we do? And they sent an email to the MPCA, which started this whole process, which shows to me that the statutory duty is complied with in the state of Minnesota, and there's no record evidence to the contrary. You look like you're ready to ask another question, though. I'm sorry. Okay. The first requirement, though, on the first exception, is this designed for a specific operational purpose. Well, this one really bothers me, is that No one disputes that the reason why for these massive tanks you have a plug is because you can't store them the way you can the smaller tanks. And so you want to put the plug in there, not because you want to put a plug in there, but because you don't want to have the freeze-thaw and cracking in the tank.
Did you argue, I saw this argument in your reply brief, did you argue before anywhere that that was the operational purpose that met the exception?
Yeah, they even admit it. Everyone says it. They just says it's in even their findings, Your Honor. They say that, well, that's not an operational purpose, but then you look at finding number 9, and they say, this is their language, the last sentence of finding number 9, an operational purpose is one that serves the function of the tank, which is to hold sewage. Well, there is no more important issue about holding sewage than avoiding cracks. And that's exactly what this massive manufacturer is trying to do, is to avoid cracks. And it's why SEMSO and other people are doing the same thing, is to avoid cracks, not because they want to defy the MPCA or their interpretation of the rule. So, but they don't reconcile, Your Honor, finding number 9 with our statement in the letters beforehand and in our brief and elsewhere, and their acceptance that we're doing it so that we don't have the freeze-thaw breakage. The other exception is the approved by a licensed professional engineer. Again, we have, in the middle of this process, we applied, at my suggestion, let's get an expert to make sure these plugs work. We did that, we submitted that, and the MPCA said, No, it doesn't matter. You can't use a plug, period, because of their error number 1.
So, Mr. Perry, I wanted to use that perhaps as an example, because you led off with, though your client may not like it, a remand.
Yeah.
Let's use that as an example. So is your point there needs to be further exploration, or would it be another expert who would, and then you'd have a battle of the experts to review like we would in a district court, or what would happen on a remand on these?
Usually, it would be a hypothetical. We don't have a hypothetical here because we had an initial violation, and then we made this application, and we appealed and dropped that. But we have an actual application with an actual certification from an engineer and saying, this plug works for this purpose. And the MPCA, because of error number 1, because they had this, I think, false understanding that there is a blanket prohibition, they said, well, there's a blanket prohibition, so we're denying that application. What had to happen, what I believe has to happen, is MPCA needs to look at our expert and say, is he right or wrong? And maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but there is no finding except for, hey, you need to get a different expert, not to talk about the plug, which is the only thing at issue, but no, we have to have the plug in connection with the tank, which has already been registered. So it's just a circular deal, which is why it has to be, I believe, remanded, so we have some sensibility to this, because it doesn't make sense. We literally went through the process, and all they said was we can't go through the process.
So if I can follow up on this question. So when I'm looking at Rule 7080.1900, so the general,
yeah.
I mean, it talks about the licensed professional engineer approval, but of this, it starts out with sewage tank. That would say approval of this design of the sewage tank, not of the plug.
Perfect. Perfect. And guess what? Our tank, that was, when we identified what the tank was, and he did his testing on that tank. The tank is registered. Every year we go through and make whatever modifications. The MPCA, there's no dispute in the record, the tank is registered and approved. The only issue is the plug okay or not? And Your Honor, this is where the dilemma is, and which we'll get to on the error number 3, is that we have a tank that everyone says is fine. We want to do a plug, the PCA says, you can't do a plug. We have a blanket prohibition on that. And so then our only option, because the MPCA recognizes you can either do a registration, which they've shut the door on, or you can get it through the LGU process. So we're getting it through the LGU process, which is under the statutory mandate for inspection and certification. That's the only option we have. We don't have another alternative.
That you want the remand for.
Yeah.
Not that you want, but.
Well, yeah. And we're not trying to pull one over. We are the largest manufacturer. We need to have this right. SEMSO, the whole industry needs to have this right. And this isn't right. I want to get to something else on this is, they identify an exhibit, or excuse me, finding number 17 and number 11. They rely upon something that really irks me because it's just it's demonstrably false. And they say, hey, we know that Delzato's all messed up on his application, his plugs, and this is a bad deal because in 2019, 2021, a previously unidentified installer, a guy named Vukonich, he installed these, and we had problems. The problem is their contemporaneous notes prove on page 24 and 25 of my brief that's not true. On page 25, they address of our brief, and it's the MPCA record 0150. We have screenshots of their notes. And for the 2019, they say last year or before, this is, again, page 25 of our brief, no issues with surface water plastic plugs. That's their language. Mr. Oscarson wrote in his language from his contemporaneous notes. So the 2019 installation cannot be a basis to find against us. So then we turn to the 2021. Even worse for them. This is on page 24 of our brief and page 0149. The first one is 0150. The second one is on 0149. There's two screenshots, and the second screenshot is the one that matters. They are both related to the same tank because they're both talking about the 2021. And it says, can I finish that? I'm sorry.
Yes, yes.
Right, okay, I'm sorry. This year, 2021, and spring of 2021, put the tank in, and it's a wet hole, water leaking, blah, blah, blah. And here's the penultimate line. Quote, had a crack in the tank, comma, not a weep hole. So the problem was a crack, not a weep hole. And that crack was filled the very next day. But that's their contemporaneous notes. And instead of relying upon their contemporaneous notes, they rely upon 5.5 months later, their summary of those notes, which can't be reconciled, which is why we're asking for a remand, and I'll get to the third issue on my rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, please.
May it please the court. My name is Philip Pulitzer, Assistant Attorney General, representing the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I'm here this morning requesting the court affirm MPCA's administrative order ordering Delzato Products to inspect 6 of its 2,500-gallon sewage tanks as the order is reasonable and supported by substantial evidence. Minnesota's groundwater is one of the state's most valued natural resources, and for that reason, the legislature granted MPCA authority on the front end to proactively protect that groundwater by issuing sewage rules to avoid pollution and ensure that only properly treated sewage is discharged to the groundwater. On the back end, the legislature also delegated MPCA the authority to conduct investigations and issue reasonable administrative orders. The key point on the front end is that Minnesota Rule 7080-1990 prohibits weep holes unambiguously. To the extent there is any confusion or ambiguity, the SONAR clears this up by stating that the rule was meant to ensure that holes are not placed in the tank bottom to allow for drainage of stormwater while the tank is being stored in the yard. This interpretation by MPCA is reasonable.
Mr. Pulitzer, can I ask you that? And I see the heading, too, in your brief on page 18, Minnesota rules unambiguously prohibit weep holes. And I've looked at this rule over and over, and obviously weep hole isn't listed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the rule, there's no temporal context to it. It's titled Tank Storage, Transport, and Use, and then just simply says precast reinforced concrete tanks must have no openings.
Correct.
So it looks like in this record it's undisputed, or from the order, that the 6 or 7, I can't remember the number of tanks that were installed, have no openings. It's also undisputed at one point they had a weep hole, as you described here.
Well, I would.
But where do I look in the rule or the statute that prohibits weep hole? We just see
The rule regulates precast concrete tanks, so that's how they're coming out of the concrete. So what the practice and what the rule prohibits is to then take a hammer drill and install a opening into that tank.
Wouldn't it have been simple to add that if that and go through the rulemaking process? I guess wouldn't that be reading into the rule? That's why the heading kind of threw me off, but I know you just made that argument too. It unambiguously prohibits weep holes, and everybody's agreeing that apparently it's unambiguous, but it just prohibits openings, and that makes good sense. I wouldn't want a septic tank that has openings. But it's undisputed these tanks don't.
It is disputed. These tanks, once that drill, that hole went into the tank, that tank no longer complies. Delzato had submitted a registration.
Because it has an opening?
Because it has an opening.
But factually, isn't it undisputed they don't?
We don't know that. In 2019, we spoke with a tank installer who reported that after they installed one of these tanks with a weep hole, there was there was groundwater leaking in through that weep hole.
Is that the one Mr. Perry just referred to that had a crack?
The information in the record, and it was from the contemporaneous notes as well as the email confirmation that reported that groundwater was coming in through the weep hole, and it was later repaired. But at the very least, it's unclear whether or not that weep hole was adequately repaired. I'd like to maybe get to this front end discussion on how these sewage tanks are sold in Minnesota, because it might illustrate that a little bit more. So MPCA does issue rules governing the proper location, installation, maintenance, and critical for this case, the design and manufacture of sewage tanks. Again, this makes sense. These sewage tanks are designed to hold raw sewage in thousands of gallons for the life of the tank, which can exceed 30 years. So to install a sewage tank, you really have two doors that you can go through. This is in 70, 80, 1900. One is the MPCA registration option. So that's where the tank is approved or confirmed to meet MPCA rules. And the benefit of this is once you're on MPCA's registered list, you can sell your tank throughout the state without further approvals. The process is tank manufacturers submit information about their tanks, design specifications as to what that tank will look like, and then that tank goes on MPCA's registered list with a registration number. The other option is the county option. You have a local government approval that approves both the tank design as well as an engineering report.
So just stopping you there, so why isn't the inspection that's conducted by the local governments, usually counties, under 115.55, why doesn't that constitute approval if they certify that, they inspected it, met these criteria set out in the statute?
Well, what these tanks that were going in the ground looked like is they had the MPCA registration number. So they met the registration that Delzato had submitted back in 2013. That had a registration number, DZ2500, that indicated that tank design did not have any weep holes or any openings below the waterline consistent with MPCA's rules, or at least its interpretation of those rules. When that tank goes in the ground, the county inspector simply is confirming that tank has that
number
on it. And when you look at the side of the tank, when you have this mastic that is over it, it's nearly impossible to identify the difference between a tank that has not had the weep holes and one that has been repaired. Certainly the Cook County inspector in 2020 did catch this, but there's no guarantee that that's evolving.
So where do we connect the dots between these to say, okay, first comes the registration, and then later, when they're after they're registered and they're installed, then comes the inspection, so it's kind of like inspection after registration instead of, we're using the alternative county process approved by the licensed professional engineer plus the local unit of government.
Well, I would say 115.55 does regulate counties. It does require minimum standards that MPCA sets, but it delegates to the counties the authority to issue their own sewage rules. Cook County, for example, has adopted MPCA's sewage rules. It also has a variance procedure that directs it to you just like seeking a zoning variance. If you wanted to install a modified tank that doesn't comply with those rules, you'd follow the zoning procedure to seek a variance. And in fact, MPCA rules also contemplate that if someone's subject to hardship, such as having a canceled tank order in the winter, you could apply to MPCA for a variance. Instead, what Delzato has done and what MPCA's investigation discovered was that that its story continued to change. At first, it was just this anomaly. It was just these tanks that were manufactured in February 2020. But when MPCA conducted a site visit, it observed tanks that had manufacturing dates of 2016 with weep holes in them. It also had conversations with tank installers who reported that these tanks were installed in 2019 and 2021. So in the face of Delzato representing that it was a one-off anomaly, MPCA's evidence was gathered, MPCA's investigation determined that it appeared to be a more widespread practice. And now for the first time, it's admitted to this court that it periodically engages in this activity. But it has no records of where those tanks were installed. It has no records of what counties gave the approval of those tanks that were modified from the registration. It has no indication that it represented to the homeowner that the tank that they were buying had these weep holes installed. The homeowners thought they were buying a registered tank, not one with weep holes. When I go buy a new set of tires, I expect them to be a new set of tires, not ones that have been patched, because it may have been more convenient for the manufacturer.
But Mr. Pulitzer, you would agree with me that if the MPCA wanted to say no openings, plugged or unplugged, they could have said that.
And yes, Your Honor, they could have said that.
I mean, because that's, you know, I find in the MPCA's brief, you know, a lot of logic to that. But my concern is based on the points Mr. Perry has raised that, you know, it's not as simple as that. So why is Mr. Perry wrong? I mean, why is it, you know, no openings means no openings, you can't repair them, you can't patch them, it's got to be a brand new registered tank, you know, totally sealed all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that rather than Mr. Perry's point?
Well, I think you'd look at the rule, and we can raise the exception here. The rule provides that there shall be no openings or pipe penetration points unless that pipe penetration point or opening has a specific operational purpose and is approved by the LGU. You know, Judge Justin mentioned that I don't see any county approvals, any written approvals, that there was any modified approval for a tank. But in terms of operational purpose, the plain language there contemplates that this pipe penetration or opening is going to assist the tank during its operation, not during its storage. And if you look at the way that the rule was amended, there was an initial draft of the rule that simply prohibited any openings or pipe penetration points. MPCA canvassed the manufacturing community. They advised that there's no long-term, let me get the quote from the weep holes cannot be adequately sealed over the long-term life of the tank. That is what the manufacturers advised MPCA during rulemaking. But they also received a comment that said, look, we can't have a blanket prohibition because occasionally we might connect multiple tanks as part of a larger sewage system. And so, for example, you might have a 5,000-gallon sewage system, but it has two 2,500-gallon tanks. And this is the comment that was submitted that led to this exception being included. And that was, it's part of the sewage system. You have a 2,500-gallon tank that then flows the sewage to another tank, and it's part of the processing of the sewage.
You've got to connect them somehow through a hole.
And so then there's what this is, because it's important to counties to understand, you know, where these tanks are, you need to have an operational purpose, and you need to go get the county to approve that modification. None of that has occurred here.
Mr. Pulitzer, wouldn't it, part of what Mr. Perry again resonates with me is obviously his client or other in the industry aren't drilling holes because they want to fight with MPCA. That's the last thing they want to do. But they have a scientific and engineering basis for it, and he referenced the one today, the most obvious ones in our country, is the frost, the freeze, and the integrity it would have but for doing this. So, and that seems to get to the ultimate issue here of the goal that no one disputes. We don't want pollutants. But so wouldn't it behoove the agency, maybe this is part of the remand request, to explore the engineer's analysis, the reasoning for it, because at the reasons we indicated, the rule isn't crystal clear because it doesn't talk about weep holes. And so in the end, the MPCA might, with further investigation, look at that and say, you know, engineering-wise, that's not a hole. It's not going to leak, and hence we're okay with it. Right. And then that way the industry knows when they get these bigger tanks that can't be stored the way the smaller ones can, the integrity is there, and it does meet the purpose because the purpose because it prevents cracking, which then would be bad.
Let me address that, a couple points there. One, you could put a tarp over these tanks. You could put a lid on the tanks. You could store them on their side. You could use a pump. There are solutions that are out there. So there are solutions that are out there. This engineering report in the record specifically distances itself from the practice of installing holes in sewage tanks. It does not endorse it, and even during this you know, lab testing where they used a lathe drill, not a hammer drill on your knees on the side of a tank, some of the holes weren't of equal size. So that's with the engineering report. But you're also talking about more how the law should be as opposed to how the law is. And MPCA has canvassed both at the time of the rule, but more recently engaged in rulemaking. And it requested comments last fall on whether people support or not support the use of weepoles. 56 comments. 54 opposed rulemaking. Opposed the use of weepoles. The only two that supported were Del's Auto Products and another manufacturer, who admitted in its comment letter that it was under investigation by MPCA. So this is, to MPCA's knowledge, this is not a widespread.
Is the idea that plugs leak or the plugs warp, or I mean, what's the problem with plugs?
As stated in the sonar, when MPCA asked the regulated community, these tanks are designed to store and treat thousands of gallons of raw sewage, and there was no long-term solution or fix. So that's really why. And you know, because there are also these alternatives, which either covering the tank, putting a tarp over it, storing it on its side, there are these alternatives to using a hammer drill in the field that violates MPCA.
I just have one question, if I may. Mr. Perry didn't address this, but it's in their briefs, talking about the repair language, and it's under, you know, the statute 115.55, and I think the position is, you know, but they have been repaired, or maybe there's 10 months to repair. Could you just address that? That was not clear to me in the MPCA's response.
I think that it's the difference between your traditional normal installation of a tank and the authority that MPCA is moving under here. So that's under 115.55, there is this standard process where tank installers go and counties inspect the tank. Again, it goes which way, which route, which door is the tank manufacturer or the tank installer going under? Is it installing a manufactured tank,
it's already registered.
A registered tank or LGU approved tank. And so it's different, and you're looking for different things when you're doing installing a registered tank versus an unregistered tank. And so really the authority that MPCA is moving under here is 115.03 subdivision 1E, which grants MPCA the authority to investigate and issue reasonable orders to control, abate, and prevent groundwater pollution or the improper storage of sewage. And that citation is not challenged. It's not referenced a single time in the briefing of Delzato. So again, that 115.55, that is something that the counties need to do. 115.03 is the authority that MPCA does to protect groundwater. I see that my light is blinking and I'm over, so I will accept any questions or sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Pulitzer. Mr. Perry, you'll have the last word, sir.
Before I get to the third error, I want to go back to the second error as to the first error, there is no attempt by the state to try to reconcile the exceptions with the blank language. As it relates to the second error, as it relates to the exceptions, the main thrust of the state's defense is to say, well, the sonar said this. That's the problem I told you we had in our opening brief, is that the sonar predated the exceptions. So how can you rely on the sonar to justify exceptions which came later? And how can a law-abiding manufacturer do anything other than comply with the actual language of the exceptions, which, again, post-dated the sonar. That doesn't make any sense. The last comment on the exception number two is Judge Justin, you asked good probing questions about this, this dual process. We have a registration process with the MPCA, and you have the delegated, what you described or the state described as the delegated process to the LGUs. Well, there is nothing in the record that says that we have violated any of the counties that we sell tanks to. We're the manufacturer. We sell it to installers. Installers do it. We're not keeping records of where they install them. We sell it to the installers. That's not our job. That's not what we do as any manufacturer. But there is no complaint anywhere in the record that we have violated any of the county ordinances, including Cook County. So then we get to the third issue is, okay, we have an order that says, hey, you need to repair or fix. The problem is that in the same order, in the same record, you know, we know, they know, we cannot repair or fix. We can only replace, which is why it gets the multi-million dollar cost to this thing. And we can't repair or replace because they did something, a sleight of hand that is horrible. They changed the exception, and they removed the exception. We can't repair by applying to the counties, let's say it's Cook County, and say, hey, PCA doesn't want to register our tank with these weep holes. We have these buried. Are you okay with this based upon this engineering study and whatever analysis they want? We can't do that because they said you have to repair to the terms we want. Well, we can't do that because we know in November 2021, they said your plan, your expert, is rejected. Not because there was anything wrong with the, there may be something wrong with our engineer, but they didn't identify it. They said one thing. Because of the blanket prohibition, it's rejected. We're in a catch-22. We cannot repair, which is why your question, Judge Jessen, is so great, is it's not just the statute that says that we get 10 months to repair unless a county says otherwise, because that's the delegated process. The rule says it too. I think it's 70, 30, whatever it is, it's cited, and I think 70, 30, 4,000, whatever. But it's in there. They have their own rule says that we get to repair. The statute says we get to repair. And if we get to that point, we would like to repair consistent with what the counties allow, because I don't think there's one county in the state of Minnesota who's going to say, oh, let's dig up. That's a good idea if we can show that the plugs are not leaking. And just to clarify on the expert, this expert was asked to do one thing. He was asked to certify the plugs and give his expert engineering opinion, do these plugs work for the purpose intended? The purpose intended is not for 1 year, not for this inspection. It is for the life of the tank. That was his opinion. He did what every engineer would do, and I'm sure he ran it through council and said, yeah, but we're not getting into this mess that you're fighting with the MPCA. We're not going to assume liability. They knew lawyers were involved. We told them lawyers involved. We asked for it. I asked for it. Bray did. So they knew, and they protected themselves. That doesn't change the certification that was given, that these plugs are adequate and for this job. And so our request is, again, is for a remand. But my hesitation with remand, it's got to be a remand, I believe, that clarifies, one, there is not a blanket prohibition. Two, the exceptions have to be applied according to the language that we actually adopted, not that you wanted to adopt in the sonar, but change your mind about. And three, the repair, if we get to the repair, it's got to be repair consistent with the rules, which allow us to go and get the exception from the LGU, because you can't, as a state agency, violate the delegated duty that you've already given to the county. That's not allowed by statute or by rule. That's our request. It's a major, major issue. We have a, you know, a large, large manufacturer who sells these things, sells the plugs. We have a major issue, and I believe the state is pretending this is not a major issue. It is. And we just want due process and the rules to apply like anyone else would who's subject to this sort of liability. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Thank you, Mr. Pulitzer. The matter is submitted. We will be issuing our opinion within 90 days.